P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And I, for the life of me, could not even begin to attempt the accent that Jodie Comer is doing in this movie. Like,
no, it's excellent.
I don't know what it is or where it's from. I love it, but it's like, I can't do it, unfortunately.
I'm
very good at certain accents, but this is not one of them.
It's basically what you sound like already. I think it's just too close to home. You can give everything you want to a thing and it'll still just like okay, wait. I was practicing this after the movie because it's so delightful. It's just gonna do what it's gonna do. It's like, yeah,
but it's not, you're going into like more like Minnesota and it's not that. It's like it's a some
where is
kind
she,
of
Milwaukee?
Weird... No, I think she's from Chicago, isn't she?
No.
Is that where they are? I think
no,
it's
they're
Chicago.
No, that's when I saw Benny. Benny. That's the one I saw Benny. I was just in the bar. I was going to go home. That's when I saw Benny.
It's like
we were married.
It's some weird thing that's like a combination of her being like a British person and then doing a Midwestern accent, but then it also sort of sounds like maybe she's from like Boston or like Long Island or something on certain words, but it's not quite as like Midwestern-y as like Fargo. It's a bizarre concoction.
I have
no idea if it's accurate. Oh, it's great. It's mesmerizing.
I think Jodie Comer is a talent. Like, I think we've had so many movies where they can't commit to the bit or they like fall out of their accents, i.e. Twisters. And I felt like this was so important to the character. And as the heart of the film, it really elevated a rather boring experience for me personally.
Yes, yes. And I would agree. We're talking about the bike riders.
They're hot core.
No, this is getting worse.
That's bad. That was bad. I'll admit it. I should have re-listened to part of it before logging on.
Yeah, you have to have your phrase that you can like key into it with.
That's when I saw Benny. That's when I saw Benny. Also, Tom Hardy has an accent where he's like channeling
his
freaking West Side Story. Hey, I love bike rides.
It is Muppet-esque, I will say.
It's just so high-pitched. I wasn't expecting it.
Right. Yeah, no. And I was sort of like, I was trying to remember what he sounds like in real life. Because I'm like, this is not his, like, I'm like, this is not his real voice. But he's also doing different accents in so many movies that I'm like, wait, what does he actually sound like?
You don't know his voice. That's why him and...
Christian Bale.
No, that's why him and Austin Butler are so... horny for each other in this film because they suffer from the same illness, which is they have no idea how to talk in their natural voice anymore.
And they're just annoying as hell.
They're truly the most annoying actors on earth.
It's like
pretty hard to love.
They just needed Joaquin Phoenix in this movie and they were good to go.
Knives or fists?
What?
Knives or fists?
That's a good one. That's Tom Hardy.
Knives or fists?
Knives or fists?
No. I actually have to leave. This is the end of the podcast.
I don't think Austin Butler talks very much in this movie.
No,
so
he doesn't. He sort of just like leans over things, I feel like.
Yeah.
And glowers. Okay. We're doing bike riders this week. And we're doing it. Stop trying to derail us, Shelby, with those bad accents. We're doing it because it just got to streaming. And we really did not want to do the domestic violence Blake Lively movie or Deadpool and Wolverine. So we ended up doing The Bike Riders, a choice that in hindsight I feel like might have been not a great choice.
Oh yeah, people, they'll watch it now that it's on streaming. People will watch it now that it's on streaming, and I don't think a single person watched this.
No, and the reason why is because it's a boring movie and not a good movie. And we can get into all of that
and
in
that's
a
the episode.
Second.
See you next week.
But no, this, I think the most interesting about thing about The Bike Riders actually is the process. Is how it came out, because it was scheduled to come out last December as like a late breaking, you know, Oscar contender, I think, in December. And then when the, and so it had a prime opening night slot at the Telluride Film Festival. And then at some point at the end of summer, right before the festival, they decided that they were not going to have it come out this year, I think due to the right or the actor's strike and, you know, the promotion for the movie. And so it played some festivals in the fall. Like, it played Telluride where it opened, and then a couple of other random ones. It didn't go to any of the festivals that I was at. And people were sort of like, yeah, it was like fine, but whatever. And then they saved it, and it didn't come out in theaters until the beginning of summer. I think that they knew, based on the reviews from the festivals, that it probably wasn't going to be like an Oscar hit. So they were like, we're not going to save it a whole nother year. We'll just have it come out in the summer. And then I don't think it did particularly well in theaters. And then now it is on Peacock like only a month or so after it came out in theaters. So they really like...
Well, I think it came out June. So
June 21st. But usually things go out for... like, usually it's in theaters for a few weeks, then it goes to VOD, and then it doesn't like get to free streaming for like a couple of months.
Yeah.
So they were really like making no money off of this on VOD if they moved it straight to Peacock.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting too, because the premise of it, I honestly didn't want to see it because it was so much masculine energy. Like, it, the trailer was just Benny and Johnny looking sad and punching people. But in actuality, I was surprised by this movie's frame story and sort of tone.
Yeah.
I really didn't know how I was supposed to feel. Like, I went into it expecting like a drama, like a sort of, you know, wrestler movie type of, we get in the nitty-gritty of it all, and it's a lot of men who don't know how to talk about their feelings,
like Iron Claw kind of energy.
No, like something like, the only one I can think of is A Cinderella Man, you know.
Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah mm-hmm. Yeah,
something really like gritty and sweeping and true to life. But this is like kind of all over the place in an unexpected way.
Oh yeah, no. This movie has an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is shocking to me because I feel like this is actually like a really kind of bad movie. It's based on a poet or a photography book that this guy Danny Lyons put out, and where he like followed around this biker gang, I guess, like what, in the 60s? And
the 70s.
Yeah, in the 60s and 70s, and took a bunch of pictures of them and interviewed different people. And so the frame story of the movie is the photographer, who is now played by Mike Feist from Challengers and West Side Story, basically interviewing Jodie Comer, who's like the girlfriend of one of the bikers. And so she is kind of narrating to him. Yeah. Okay. Wife, girlfriend, whatever. the story of all of these different people in the biker gang. But this is where I think it has the, oh, we stayed a little too true to the real life events kind of thing, because there's so many different characters, there's so many different bikers, there's a lot of plot lines going on. None of them really get that much time or space. They sort of don't really make sense narratively. It's just kind of like a random sequence of events, and I think it's hard to follow, hard to get invested, And I, by the time we got to the end of the movie, like, they're sort of doing a wrap-up of, like, and this guy did this, and this guy did this afterwards. And I was like, I still don't know who half of these characters are. And they all have weird names, like Zippo and Brucey and Wahoo. Zippo. And other than the Austin Butler character, who is like the husband of Jodie Comer, and then Tom Hardy, who's like the leader of the bike gangs, and then the hot young guy, the kid, who like pops up a couple of times. I really was not like tracking with anything. Michael Shannon is in this movie randomly. Boyd Holbrook, like, could not tell you what those characters were doing or how they
were connected. Well, I think it's interesting because it's not really, they're not like based on real people. Like, it's inspired by. So it's not like this true story of the Vandals. The Vandals never existed. They are just made up by this filmmaker's mind based on Outlaws or something, some other motorcycle gang in the 60s. So it was all creative choice, right? Like, that's what's interesting to me. And honestly, I walked away from this film pleasantly surprised and engaged. I wouldn't say I like was wowed by it, but I was swept up in it. I was mesmerized in ways I can't fully explain, because it wasn't like I was like laughing at it, like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing I've ever seen, like, ha 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 ha, ironic, like, love. But it also wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is a total dumpster fire. It was almost like a rough draft that I wish he'd taken back to the drawing board for just a few retouches. Like, I think he could have scrapped the frame story while still centering on Jodie Comer's character, but also having more fun and more to say about the zeitgeist of the time. Because to me, I just can't take motorcycle gangs seriously. I'm sorry. I really can't. And I think that's what I liked about this movie is I'm sure that he wanted me to take it more seriously than I did, but I found it all so like pathetic in a way that endeared me to them, because at the heart of it, you have Johnny, who is Tom Hardy, who watches like on the waterfront and decides he wants to be a biker like Marlon Brando. Like, that's literally the starting point of this hardened biker gang, is he just liked the look. And that's just so like, I love that. I love the idea that all these like white dudes, middle America, they are so desperate to feel different, to feel special, that they make up this like costume party. And I found like myself so interested in that psychology, because there's a few statements here and there by Jodie Comer where it's like, yeah, they aren't even like hardened criminals really, they just like riding bikes. And so you have these like zany little characters who are a little bit tough or rough around the edges, but they're also like living a very privileged existence in middle America, like being arrested but walking free, and like, you know, they're handsome white dudes who have jobs supposedly, like even if they're just poor paying blue collar jobs, and yet all their identity is wrapped up in this idea of hanging out at a bar with each other late into the night and having picnics where they just punch each other for getting in each other's way and then share a beer after. And that like macho manliness was so I don't know, it was so mesmerizing. And I wish it had had a stronger POV to like engage with that in a more compelling way, because by the end of it, it did just feel sort of like this West Side Story soap opera tragedy of Americana type of story he wanted to tell. Whereas I found myself really interested in these quirky little dudes who just wanted friends and didn't know how to talk about their feelings.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's sort of why I like, yes, this isn't it's not like based on real life, but I'm like, he must be like pulling specific instances, because I feel like there's things in the movie that just like sort of don't make sense there narratively. Like the movie just doesn't, like, it doesn't follow a traditional narrative plot line
yeah
enough for it to have been like complete fabrication. Like, I think that the facts must have gotten in the way. But I think that the thing that he's seems most interested in, which is maybe not the thing that I think is most interesting or that you think is most interesting, is this like transition kind of between, oh, it's all of these people who are just sort of like looking for community and like the vibes of being a biker and are just like trying to hang out but are like really pretty good people, into this like organized crime sort of unit that the biker gang ends up becoming. And I guess like I don't know enough about biker gangs in like modern America or just the history of them. Like, was that a big thing where they sort of turned, it was like a fun club that then turned into this like violent hardened criminals sort of in the 70s and 80s? And then like, are biker gangs now criminal activities? I feel like no, it's just like old people who like riding around. So right, so it's like I think that like plot line of how it sort of went from something that was kind of fun to something that was like really dangerous and nefarious was not necessarily the most interesting part. Because I agree, I think that the part that was most interesting is her kind of, well, one, just her performance. Anytime she's on the screen talking about anything, it's like I couldn't take my eyes off of her. But also, yeah, her discussing these like men, kind of like, yeah, these like little boys. They all want to like ride on their little bikes around town. And that's what they did. And they wore like weird stuff in their hair and whatever. And it reminded me a lot of The Outsiders. And how, you know, they're like getting in fights with each other because like, oh, we wear grease in our hair and these other people don't. And it's like straight men actually just like desperately need to go to therapy and figure out their feelings, because they're lashing out in the weirdest way and they're doing the most bizarre things in order to try to like make up for the fact that they have daddy issues. And I wish that he had like pulled more in that direction in this movie. And focused on that. And I also think if he had just like trimmed some of the characters off and we'd really focused on a couple of these people, we could have gotten a lot deeper into sort of the psychology of all of this. But the character who you end up knowing the best is Jodie Comer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that is sort of a character that we've seen a lot of times before, of like the wife of some guy who like is a hot mess and how she's sort of having to like cobble everything together.
Well, I think it's interesting too, because it seems like so much of the original like book and photos and this guy inserting himself into the biker gang and watching the like romantic era of biker gangs fade is tied to the geopolitics of the 60s and 70s, where you do have this sort of nostalgia and this middle America white guy who's just like a little unsure of his place in the world. And so he finds this community. But then as they are inserted into these traumatic events, such as, you know, the Vietnam War especially, and they're coming back and they're coming home, like the movie talks about how they're coming home with like, they're not just smoking weed anymore. They're doing other hard drugs and it's hard stuff. And they're violent and they're desperate to have an outlet for this trauma. And sort of that odds of the generational gap, I thought that would have been more interesting to play in that space a little more, but instead it really just gives you, oh, isn't Johnny like the romantic? He had his heart in the right place when he started this, and then these new kids just ruined it. And I'm like, well, I was just curious like what the message there was to the director, like all good things must end, or you don't really have control. Because Johnny's whole speech is like, oh yeah, you let a thing happen and what's going to happen is going to happen no matter what you do. And it's like, well, you wrote the club rules that were like, if you want to fight me, fight me. And like, you wrote in this like performance of violence and never had to contend with it because you knew all you and your buddies weren't taking it that seriously. But if you set the groundwork for that being the world in which you wanted to live, then of course the newcomers who grow up in that with that language will take it seriously. And I think that sort of like cause and effect, and this refusal to take accountability for that was more interesting to me than anything that ever actually played out on screen, because I think that in itself was like a very intriguing moment where it's like, Johnny, I think you have to take some responsibility here for the culture you created. And yet, like a classic white dude who wants to wash his hands of it, he's like, no, no, no. There's rules and levels of honor, but those aren't the things that are communicated when you have such a violent forward, like, community.
I'm also just so fascinated by, like, the club culture of, like, the 50s, 60s, 70s of, like, these church clubs and country clubs and biker gangs and just how everybody in that period, like, had to be involved in all of these, like, little groups and the, like, VFW and all of these different things. And I do love sort of a deep dive into, like, a niche subculture because I think they are so fascinating. But it felt like I just like wanted more, I guess, from all of that. And for this movie doing a lot of stuff and having a lot of, you know, quote unquote action scenes, I just felt myself getting kind of bored the whole time. Like, especially in the back half when you get more into these like montage-y kind of things of all of the stuff that's going on and these different characters and they're riding around doing different stuff. And then you kind of get into like the trauma porn sort of section of it as well. I just got really like, I don't know, distracted. My like mind was wandering. I wasn't like keyed into this movie, I think, in the way that I could have been. It's also interesting because the director of this movie, Jeff Nichols, has done like a very sort of bizarre set of movies before this, in that he did Mud, the like Matthew McConaughey drama, and then he did Midnight Special, which is like a sci-fi movie sort of about like a weird like Amish Mormon cult and taking care of this like kid who has special powers. And then he did Loving, which is the like biopic about the first interracial couple in the US to, you know, be allowed to marry, which are just three movies that I feel like are very different from each other and also very different from this. And then also apparently he wrote the script for A Quiet Place Day One.
Which is
also like a very different movie. So I'm like, what? It was like, who is this man?
And
yeah, why did he decide that he needed to tell this story in such a weird way?
Well, I feel like Mud and Loving and to a certain degree Midnight Special, they all exist in this sort of Americana.
Yeah, that's true.
Looking at the sort of social order of the fringes of American white culture, at least. And I like respect the effort. I do think it got kind of like lost in the beauty of it, similar to Loving, where there's a lot of like homage to these photos and to the framing of the original, like inspired by art pieces. And I think there were one too many shots of them, you know, biking past a field of green, you know, field of corn or wheat or whatever, and there was a lot of jean and leather and plaid and fires and beers and all of that. And so it did sort of start to feel like, well, what is he like, is he just enjoying the company of these characters, like, because that's kind of what it felt like. And if that was his intention, then I almost wish he would have taken out the frame story and just like owned that he wanted to spend some time with these dudes. But I feel like having the frame story and having the outsider's perspective, the outsider's perspective on these men through Jodie Comer offered an opportunity to kind of dig in a more interesting way for all of us who are also on the outside. Because I felt like with the kid storyline, it was strange because I at first wasn't sure who this guy was. I was like, is this like is this like Austin Butler, like as a kid? Like, I, because he never really interacts with anyone until the very end, but he keeps popping up in like random little moments and he's given like some humanity, but also he's just like a crazy loser.
Well, yeah.
And so I just was like, huh, like what's, I felt like there was an opportunity to either just have fun with the Americana aspect or lean into the, like, I don't know, cultural youth versus manhood, whatever. Because it was just kind of, it all ended like really slow, but also really suddenly, like, you know.
Well, yeah, because the kid come, like, the kid wants to join the biker gang, and then, and it's sort of like told no, and then later comes back and is kind of put through this like trial sort of thing where Tom Hardy's like, oh, you can join, but you have to like ditch your friends. And he's like, sure. And then Tom Hardy's like, that's not what we're looking for here. Like, how dare you ditch your friends? Like, actually, you can't come into this club. And then eventually the kid comes back and like challenges the Tom Hardy for like to be like in control of the whole gang, but then just shoots him.
Yeah, pretty rude.
Yeah, which was just kind of like, okay, especially since he really wasn't a character that was that like integral to everything. You know, it wasn't like, oh, he was a part of the gang and then somehow got betrayed and then came back and killed him. It was like, no, it was just this random kid who like sort of wanted to join the gang and they said no, and then, and like sort of bruised his ego a bit, and then he came back and killed the guy. It's like,
I think that's the story, man. It's a kid who's only known violence, who looked up to violence.
Right,
and
but it's,
saw that as strength.
It's
whereas
just
Johnny,
like,
had a much more soft side that he never really showed anyone except Benny and his wife. And maybe Jody.
And his wife.
And his
that is, it's that upward inflection or whatever. That's what Jody Comer kept doing. But the like, sure, like I can see how all of the different parts of this movie like sort of work on paper, or like if they were executed properly, but I just feel like none of them were. Like, even the frame story, you obviously want the frame story because I think Jodie Comer is the best part of this movie and her take on things is interesting and sort of funny. But the weird part is that the frame story is largely focused on the photographer, the Mike Feist character, who is really sort of like a non-entity through most of the movie. And if you think about something,
focused on him?
Well, I mean, like, he's the one who's like going around and like collecting these stories or whatever. Like, he's not the one talking, but like the whole point of the movie, or like the whole narrative, the frame story, is that like he's interviewing her in these different situations and he's sort of interviewing other people.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you think about something like Almost Famous, where it's about like a journalist following these people, I think right. You get a lot more of like what, why that person is interested, that person's growth narrative, like sort of what they learn from the experience at the end, like they have a narrative arc as well. And I felt like in this, Mike Feist's character really has like no narrative arc. Like, he's only there to sort of like collect Jodie Comer's stories. But if that's the case, then it's kind of like, we don't really need him. Like, she can just be doing voiceover or something, or like this can just be her story. We sort of don't need this extra character. There's just so many things that are not necessary in this movie that are just like hanging around for no apparent reason. It's like it's like what you said about the like edit. It's like, yeah, I can see how these things made sense, but we needed somebody to go through and be like, okay, actually we need to get rid of Zipco and we need to cut off Poochie Woochie and get rid of this part of this frame story and whatever. Like, it needed some
cockroach.
Consolidating.
Poor
who was cockroach?
He's the one who realized he needed to provide for his family, so he was going to leave to become a motorcycle cop.
Oh, yeah, and then they shot him in the leg?
Well, first, the mean guys beat him up, and because they had a different code of honor than Johnny originally anticipated, they would kill him if he's moved, so Johnny had to shoot him in the leg to save his life.
Oh, yeah. Wait, and also,
and that's what
that
sent Benny
the
away
guy from Walking Dead is just randomly in this movie?
Yeah, I think
like,
it's
he
everyone.
Just pops up?
It's just, it's yeah, like, they're just... It's a montage of good old American blood, you know?
Yeah, I didn't like this movie. I was like, okay, this is not doing anything.
It's like I felt fine having sort of this character-y, like, I don't know. It didn't bother me. It was more that the through line wasn't satisfying enough. So it was like, I didn't care about Johnny as much as I cared about these side characters, I guess.
I didn't care about anybody. Like, and I did keep thinking about the Iron Claw while I was watching this, because I feel like that does like a similar kind of thing in a really, really effective way, in that it's looking at this subculture of people that's like sort of strange, that it's looking at this toxic patriarchy, that, but it somehow manages to make all of those characters like specific, and you really care about them and what happens to them. Yeah. And it's so like powerful in the way that it does. And when you get to the end of the movie, I think that the message comes across pretty strongly in what it's trying to say. And this just did not have any of that. And also, like, I think that the actors in this movie are good for the most part. They're just like kind of, yeah, like not really given that much, other than Jodie Comer, who I do think is great. But
yeah, I felt like in the end, it was too distracted by Johnny and Benny's relationship, which never itself paid off. And I think it's interesting to have this come out at the same time as Challengers, which is a much different film, but you have that same sort of essence of a love triangle where there's two men and a woman, and they're all kind of entangled with like wants and desires from each other. This one's much more straight, much less sexy, but I feel like that's what he wanted, was like, oh, Benny's torn between his wife and his loyalty to Johnny. But I had no idea why Johnny and Benny had a relationship. Benny was the thinnest drawn character I have seen in recent movies. Like, he's given nothing to do, and we're not even allowed to see him and Jodie Comer like be in love. Like, really, they're barely in scenes together, and when they are together, she is the one doing the talking. I never hear from him. He talks more to Johnny, but even those are sort of like Johnny's talking at him. He's like, hey, I want you to take the club. It's time for me to let go. All these new guys, it's too much. And Benny's like, oh. And he's like tortured enough that when they shoot Cockroach in the leg, he's like, I can't do this, and like leaves. But then somehow Jody goes back to him, and they move to Florida, I think, and he gives up biking altogether. And I was just like, wait. I need a little more context here, because how does Benny go from being like always arrested, in and out of jail, always picking fights, supposedly always crashing his bike, always doing something, to then just like giving it up because of what? Like, I wanted to understand that better. And I felt like Johnny and Benny weren't as richly drawn as the director seemed to think they were, because of how much time he dedicated to them. When in the end, Benny's not even there when Johnny dies, you know, which was sad. It was sad to see Benny fall apart, but.
Well, yeah. And then also I felt like Johnny or Benny and Jodie Comer's like relationship sort of like at the beginning, I think it's really sort of like well put together. But then when you sort of get to the end, I feel like that doesn't really have like a satisfying conclusion either. And the fact that the two of them just go off to Florida together, it's like, I guess it's like a happy ending sort of for them. Like, they escape everything and they're living their best lives. But at the same time, it does not feel very like thematic or symbolic of anything. Like,
well, I actually read it differently. I read it as she wanted to believe he was happy, but knew that nothing would ever make him as in love with something as biking did. And so he's a little bit sad. And he smiles because he hears the motorcycles go by, not because he's his wife.
I mean, yes, but it's like they...
That's the American, you
but
know,
they're off, right there. But they're off sort of like if you want to do an... Like, if this is a made-up story and you can change things, then I feel like if you want the ending to be like, but he ultimately loved motorcycles more than he loved her, it's like there's a better way to do that that is more interesting and like impactful.
But I think that's what this movie was trying to get at, is that so much of American life, so much of this, you know, we're not an embattled people, but the middle America white man is having to give up or having to lose something. And so it's sort of the sadness, the trap, the lie of the middle class, and how, yes, he's alive. Yes, he has a wife. Yes, he has a job. He should be happy. But all he wants, all he remembers, all he like craves is that freedom on the back of a hog, you know, just riding. Riding for riding's sake.
I just don't think it does a good job of it.
I know.
Illustrating that. And also it's like, okay, yes. Then like, what are the things that a straight man will do in order to avoid going to therapy? Like, that is a point that we have seen time and time and again. And I do think it is one that we need to keep reiterating because people have not gotten that message fully through yet. But like, I think that there are better movie versions of this that are hitting things harder and constructing things better than this. It almost feels like the guy wanted, like the director, like saw this photography book, liked the pictures of the motorcycles, liked the vibes, and was sort of like, let's do a movie where I get to film a lot of people on motorcycles for a while. And I'll just get lots of like cool looking like straight guys to ride around on motorcycles and then sort of cobble together a plot around that. This movie feels so much like a vibes movie and not like a movie that came into it with like things to say.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's giving like West Side Story, but make it boring.
But I'm like, West Side Story at least had like good musical numbers, and also like you could tell that it was trying to say very specific things, even if I think it was sort of undercut by its own like purpose. Yeah. But this feels like you can sort of watch it and graft some things onto it, or sort of be like, oh, I think that maybe they're trying to do this, but it's nothing's clear. It's all kind of murky.
Like, honestly, what was with the one guy's girlfriend?
Oh my gosh, yes. Wait, I wanted to talk about this. This, like, it's mostly men in this biker gang. And like, yes, there are some girlfriends wandering around. But there's one girlfriend in particular who's Asian and the only like non-white person in this movie, and has the largest beehive I've ever seen in every scene. It's like twice the size of her head, and it's like, what is this woman's story? Like, how did she end up in here? Like, I am fascinated by her place in this society. But it's really like, I think maybe at one point they sort of discuss it like very briefly at the beginning, but it's like she never really like comes into any plot points other than she's just like around.
She never has a single word, which honestly, again, speaks to sort of this middle American white dude experience of like the guy collecting his little Asian trophy wife. And it's just, it was interesting, but then it wasn't justified because it never actually like dared to ask the question, right? Like, it's like, if this had been in the hands of someone I trusted, I think I would have walked away liking it more. And instead, I just like the pieces of it and feel like I could have puzzled it better.
Well, and because it's not like it's Riverdale or something, and like the whole cast is all of these different people of like different ethnic backgrounds and whatever that they're sort of just lumping together. It's like, it's pretty accurate to the times. And then there's just this one Asian woman who's
not allowed to have a single word.
Right. And is just like so out of place in the group.
And Johnny's wife too. I was like, how does it feel to be halfway through your life and your husband's midlife crisis becomes buying a bar and running some sort of pseudo thug bike gang? And it's right. Like, she ends up wearing leather or whatever and like seems to enjoy herself, but yeah, it was kind of funny because Jodie Comer's character tries to be like, yeah, these women, you just don't know. Or like, you know, there's like a sort of separating herself from the other plus ones, but then also the same sort of like enamoredness with the culture. And I was like, well, why? Like, what is it? Like, I never fully bought in to why she stuck around. One, because they didn't really show us her in love with Benny. But right. Two, because it was like, what is this bringing to the women in these people's lives? Like, they're all deadbeats. Do they even work? Like, what's happening at home that makes this so appealing to you?
Right. Yeah. Because it's like you can see some sort of situation where it's like, oh, like I want to rebel. I want to be like a bad girl kind of thing and date these like bikers. But you don't really necessarily get the sense that that's what she's doing. Yeah. And then you don't get any sort of perspective on the other wives and girlfriends. So yeah, it's just like very confusing. And yeah, like the gang sort of initially seems to be like these regular people who have just like decided that they want to be like bad boys because they watched a movie once. And I think that would have to be sort of a hard sell to your wife and children, unless you're sort of in that Midwestern patriarchal situation where like the wives and children can't say no to things. But if that's the case, then like, let's put that on the screen more of like, oh, these wives like actually don't want to be involved, but their husbands are sort of making them because they're having their own midlife crisis. But we didn't get that plot point either.
Yeah. No, and like that's part of what they mention is like, oh, Johnny's so in love with Benny because he's like the real deal. He's not playing pretend. He actually is this hardened guy. And so, yeah, it's like there were elements there where they like hinted at or acknowledged, but they've instead of like exploring that or having fun with that, they instead just like showed another bike gang on the streets through Milwaukee. Like I couldn't bring myself to be wowed by,
and the crowd and the gang got bigger and bigger, and it just, oh my gosh, the inspiration.
Yeah. And then I didn't care enough about any of the people really in the gang to be upset when the gang started turning into, you know, something that was more violent or hostile or whatever. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, like, remember when it used to be just the five of us and we were like such best friends and it was good times, and now it's being overrun by these like drug dealers. It was like, I never had any attachment to anybody in the gang. So
I loved the team meetings. I loved them fighting about a telephone. I loved them arguing about paying dues. I was so charmed by the inner workings of a biker gang that it really just really brought into focus how silly it is. And you know what? I love that anyone would have any outlet, and I think community is so important, but that they have to hide it behind this sort of like hardened, I'm pretending to be a criminal because I like ride around and irritate cops all day, is very funny to me.
Yeah, it's
fists or knives. And then he's like
or like guns.
And that happens. That's when he's like, no, you can't have a second gang. But then he's like, yes, you can. And it's like, why is he making these rules up? I don't know. I just think it's so funny and speaks to how much power we've let white men have in our lives when they are really just making it up to fill a void in their dark little hearts.
Oh, yeah. So dumb. So dumb.
So, yeah. It really just...
It's like, maybe just make some normal friends. Like, have a conversation. Tell your dad that you're mad that he did not spend time with you as a child. Like, let's just do that, you know? Like, we can figure this out.
Yeah.
We don't have to be driving around on motorcycles, which, by the way, are so unsafe. Like, motorcycles are actually deranged. Like, anyone who owns one or has one, it's like, girl, you, like, have a death wish because... Right. It's like you get hit by a car, you get some loose gravel, you get hit by a deer, you swerve to miss a pheasant. Like you are dead so quickly. Like, cars in and of themselves are dangerous, and motorcycles are like cars that have no padding or anything, you know? Yeah. It's like, you think riding in a car with no airbag is bad. Like, well, what about you're just like sort of lightly sitting on a two-wheel device flying through the air at 70 miles an hour? Like, no.
Yeah.
People are so stupid.
I know.
And this movie, it's not great.
Knives.
What's coming out next week is really the question that we need to be asking. 2024 movies. I'm looking it up. There has to be something better. Please. Oh, well, the new Alien movie comes out this weekend. Which I'm sort of intrigued by.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like a...
Have you seen the other Alien movies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, perfect. Well, let's just do that then.
Well, I don't like the other alien movies. But sure, you know, we can talk about rape as a metaphor and the original intention of the alien film and how it's been bastardized for kicks and giggles while still subjugating its subjects to violent penetration.
And more importantly, it has the star of one of your favorite movies of the year, Civil War. So yeah, we can discuss that again.
Perfect.
And it's sort of cruel portrayal of journalists in the world.
Cute. Wait, you know there's another Venom movie coming out this year?
I did, unfortunately. I haven't seen any of the Venom movies, but there is another one on its way.
That's crazy. Okay. Well, how much fun is that?
I mean, otherwise we can sort of figure out what else is coming to Peacock next week and watch that movie instead.
I did watch Abigail. That's streaming.
Oh, yeah. I saw that when I logged in and I was like, oh, I do want to watch that because that looks like fun.
Interested in your take. It's definitely a little bit more complicated than Ready or Not.
Oh, okay. Mm, interesting. Maybe I'll watch that this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening, everybody, to this. I really am praying that you didn't have to watch this movie and that we saved you from that fate. But if you did, let us know your thoughts. And we'll be back next week to maybe be discussing Alien, maybe to be discussing whatever's next on Paramount+. Talk to you then. Bye.